Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and let others follow Just the Horse Race. We've got issues. All this week, as part of our election series, 30 Issues in 30 Days, we've been talking about public safety, mainly about policing and terrorism. Today, we want to talk about public safety in an emergency. New York is obviously no stranger to big catastrophic events. We are so defined in this city by 9/11 and Sandy. And in those moments, the mayor has to lead in a different way. So today we want to know, is there a Democratic or Republican way to prepare for an emergency? Erwin Redlener joins us now. He's the director of the National Center for Disaster Preparedness at the Columbia University School of Public Health. Welcome back, Dr. Redlener. So nice to have you on, not during an emergency for once.
Oh, yeah. I'm so relaxed today, Brian. Well, thank you for having me.
We usually have you when everybody's, you know, in the height of a crisis. So it's good to step back a little bit from that. And is there a Democratic and Republican way to prepare for or lead a city through an emergency?
Well, clearly there's a good way and less effective ways to prepare for disasters. And hopefully both parties would embrace doing things differently so that we have more effective capacity to respond, and not only respond, but really to prepare for, respond, and then recover from large-scale disasters. And these have been enormous challenges that we really don't have a handle on yet.
You know, I keep thinking about the older public housing residents during Sandy,
right,
who we heard from on the phones and who were stranded on high floors, worried that they would run out of food and water, literally.
Yeah.
One strategy could be building an emergency aid infrastructure strong enough to get every vulnerable person enough food and water during an emergency. People have talked about this. I think you've talked about this.
Yeah.
Another would be building seawalls or something around New York,
right,
to prevent the emergency,
right,
in the first place or help to prevent,
yeah,
it. And yet another, maybe harder strategy is to support strong communities where people aren't vulnerable in the first place, to focus,
right,
on building strong communities in non-emergency times so that when an emergency comes, these networks exist and the community is more resilient. I wonder who of the candidates, if any, talks about what and when it comes to dealing with emergencies.
Well, one of the intriguing things here, first of all, I should say that effective disaster response requires planning that includes three big sectors. Obviously, government has a major role here. And secondly, individuals themselves need to take some responsibility for getting ready for a large-scale disaster. And, you know, the mantra is that you are your own real first responder, and that's actually the case because the typical response agencies get overwhelmed, and individuals and individual families need to be ready for all kinds of disasters. But the third piece, and the one that I've been intrigued by Bill de Blasio about, has to do with really creating a powerful organization of community-based entities, not-for-profit organizations, voluntary organizations, religious organizations, because there's no way that government is going to get big enough or effective enough to reach people in their individual neighborhoods, in their particular buildings. The problem that you alluded to with these stranded, very high-risk and vulnerable individuals in high-rises is a good example, but there were many more examples of vulnerable people who had not really been included in disaster planning. And I think the only way to do this in a big city is what de Blasio has actually been proposing, which is that let's take our neighborhood networks and our local institutions and use them to make sure that everybody, the most vulnerable among us, do have a lifeline in the event of a large disaster. It's critically important. One of the things I would just add is as I was walking around in the Rockaways immediately after the disaster, and so many people were telling me that they did not choose to evacuate. In fact, the majority of people, we think, did not leave the high-risk Zone A areas. And one of the problems was that you can't make an announcement from City Hall and say, you know, we're expecting a storm, everybody needs to leave. People won't buy that. It has to be decentralized. And this is one of the things that I think it's appealing about what Bill de Blasio wants to do. If you want people to leave, the messenger for that message has to be somebody they trust who lives among them, who's part of their community.
And does LOTA prioritize these infrastructure hardening measures over more community-based preparedness? Is he, as far as you could tell, focused more on preventive built infrastructure measures, seawalls, et cetera?
Well, from what I know about the campaign statements and so forth, Joe LOTA is focused on hardening infrastructure and long-term solutions, which is all fine. I really haven't heard anything from him about sort of local community-based solutions that are really going to help people in a time of an emergency. And, you know, these are, interestingly, two different kinds of candidates when it comes to preparedness. And Joe LOTA made something of a name for himself in the immediate response to 9/11 as
right.
one of Giuliani's key aides. But the problem with all
and
that,
also in the immediate response to Sandy, getting the MTA back, the subways back up and running so quick.
That's true. You know, some people's personalities and bent is towards the drama of the thing happening and the ability to respond. But that's really not everything that we need right now. New York City, as a whole, across parties and across agencies, has gotten spectacularly good at the response part. The fire department, the police department, the emergency management are all very effective organizations and getting better, it seems, every year. Where we lack is the planning part. You know, the criticism of the Giuliani administration had to do with why in heck they put the Emergency Operations Center in a building that had already been targeted by terrorists, and why they hadn't fixed communication issues between police and fire are legitimate issues that Joe LOTA was around for and sort of never got addressed. So as I say, I'm fine with his big-time plans, but the long and short of it is we need that, but we also need somebody who can think entirely differently about how to involve communities and how to make sure that vulnerable people are protected in the event of a large-scale disaster, any kind.
And I want to make even another point about that, because poverty, I think it's really important to remember, makes a person very vulnerable in an emergency disproportionately. So
right.
does being elderly or disabled. Is it important for the next mayor to see poverty or affordable housing, good jobs, access to public transit, all these things that they always talk about as public safety issues?
I think so, and I agree with you totally, Brian. You know, it's like the reality it is that the preconditions in a city of poverty, of the housing crisis and so forth, really drive how effective we are, not just in the immediate response, but more importantly in the recovery. And we've seen this just recently with this issue about people being housed in hotels where the FEMA money is drying up and the city can no longer afford to keep them in hotels. Well, this is a really big problem, not so much because of the immediate detail, but because we had a housing crisis long before Sandy started to get organized off our coastline. And what I mean by that, we had, you know, 40 or 50,000 people in the homeless shelter system prior to Sandy, including, by the way, about 20,000 children. That was an unresolved problem. So now we add people who are displaced, in a sense homeless, because of the disaster, and there's no place for them to go. So the precedent of poverty and a housing crisis and the lack of affordable housing sets us up to be really in trouble when the disaster strikes. This is why the next mayor is going to have to be a big thinker and really understand these and deal with these underlying issues.
We're talking about emergency preparedness and emergency response as issues in the mayoral race with Irwin Redlener, the director of the National Center for Disaster Preparedness at the Columbia University Mailman School of Public Health. Here's a clip of Joe LOTA talking on this program about what he did during Sandy, where, of course, he came off as a bit of a hero for getting the subways back working in short order.
You know, no one ever expected terrorists to actually take two airliners and drive them into buildings across the street. Look, I stand by everything I've ever done. I stand by the decisions I have always made. That's me. I stand by it.
All right, so that was my mistake. That was him talking about the decision that he was involved in before 9/11 to place the Emergency Response Center in the World Trade Center during the Giuliani administration. Briefly on that, and we talked about it earlier in the week, so I don't want to go over this really again, because I think it would be unfair. But very briefly on that, in your work at the Center for Disaster Preparedness, have people studied this? Because it wasn't, from what I understand, even just the Giuliani administration with Joe Loda putting that emergency command center in the World Trade Center, even though it had been previously attacked in 1993, so they knew it would be a target. Some of the federal law enforcement agencies had their New York command centers there. Have you looked at this?
Yeah, in fact, a lot of the federal agencies had their base of operations there. And all of that was a mistake, as far as I am concerned. You know, the fact that other agencies did doesn't make the New York City's decision correct. And by the way, even having the replacement for the OEM be initially put right under the Brooklyn Bridge was also kind of concerning, because the bridges and tunnels and all that would also be targets. But yeah, there was also redundancy in that and so forth. But the fact of the matter is, I don't think there's any getting away from these two big problems with putting this operational center in the World Trade Center towers. But there was also the other issue of not really dealing with the well-known communication issues between fire and police, which was so horribly costly in terms of human life on 9/11.
So here's Loda talking about Sandy, after which he came off a bit of a hero for getting the subways back working in such short order. Here's Joe Loda talking on this show.
We knew what was going to happen. We knew what was going to happen, to the point that, you know, I was involved in the decision making about shutting down the transit system, because I knew that there was going to be a surge. I never expected the surge to be as high as it was. And as I said it that night, about 4 minutes into the surge, I knew that my worst-case expectations had been exceeded. But that being said, you know, we knew it would have a significant impact on the barrier islands of the Rockaways. We knew that it would have an impact on the other parts of southern Brooklyn. We knew that it would have an impact on Staten Island. So there should have been in place the way, you know, I had people in place all throughout the transit authority system. They weren't all housed in one place. They were in place so that immediately after the storm was over, there were preparations and work to get the system back up and running.
Joe Loda on this program talking about how he prepared during Sandy as head of the MTA. Honestly, I don't think he would even be the mayoral candidate for the Republican Party today. He said so on the show, and I'm sure elsewhere, that he had thought about it and decided he probably wouldn't run until he got thrust so positively into the public spotlight after that. Do you think there are lessons that are generalizable from the ways that went well, Irwin Redlener?
Yes, Brian, I do. And credit where credit is due. I think Joe Loda did a very good job in his decision-making about the MTA. But, you know, looking at the total record there, I do have these concerns about, I guess, two big issues. One is the history of what went on in and around and before 9/11. And the second being what I was talking about earlier, which is that it is absolutely imperative that the next mayor understand the preconditions of a complicated disaster being so important, which includes vulnerable populations and poverty and all these other things that must be addressed if the city is going to be as resilient as it needs to be. And secondly, the ticket here, the key to getting us in much better shape, is to really galvanize, mobilize the community-based organizations and the neighborhoods of New York. They are going to be the entities that really make us much more prepared than we currently are. And de Blasio's described this in great detail. He gets it, and I think that's an exciting opportunity for New York to get a lot more prepared than we are at the moment.
And we have one de Blasio clip to play. Remember Snowmageddon, everybody, from Christmas 2010? We had public advocate Bill de Blasio on the show then to respond to what turned out to be a pretty bad moment for the Bloomberg administration, from him being out of town on vacation to very slow response in terms of plowing the streets. Here's the public advocate from that week.
The bigger concern to me is everything around emergency services. The fact that there are so many impassable streets, still so many abandoned vehicles, you know, ambulances and fire trucks by the dozens were stuck in the snow. So something went fundamentally wrong, and I think if 311 is not staffed sufficiently to at least give people a place to register their information with the city to get some kind of understanding of when the help would come, then we've got an even more serious breakdown than I suspected. We need to understand everything from what did we miss at the front end of this to was there enough personnel available for sanitation? Was there enough personnel available at 311 at the call center? It seems to me what we need to hear from the mayor is a real willingness to join with the rest of us in looking at this objectively, deciding what was missed and how we have to beef up the response for the next one.
So, Irwin Redletter, what about 311? There was a piece in the Daily News today saying that the next mayor should work more closely with the tech community to improve our 311 system, as other cities have done. Do either of the mayoral candidates talk about new technology in the context of disaster preparedness or public safety, or is there anything else that we have or haven't learned from Snowmageddon?
Well, I do know that, and I think both candidates are comfortable in conversations with tech, about tech. In terms of their specific application to disaster preparedness, I do know that as public advocate that de Blasio did, he made the statement that you just referred to, and I think there's a significant awareness on his part that we really do have to beef up technology, and I know he knows this even from dealing with issues like normal EMS response and all of the other things that have to happen in the city to make it function properly that involve technology, computers, communication systems. He's quite into that, and I think all of those applications will help make the city more livable, but mostly more functional in terms of day-to-day needs, information for the public, and ultimately, the better we are at all that, the better we're going to be with disasters.
Irwin Redletter is the director of the Center for Disaster Preparedness at the Columbia University Mailman School of Public Health. He's been with us today to help break down issue 10 in our 30 issues in 30 days election series, the role of disaster preparedness and response as an issue in the mayoral campaign. Dr. Redletter, thanks so much.
My pleasure, Brian. Anytime.
Now, Monday, issue 11 has yet to be determined, because here's what we're going to do. This afternoon, Cory Booker and Steve Lonergan are having their first debate in that special U.S. Senate election in New Jersey, and we're going to pick out whatever is the most interesting issue or one of the most interesting issues that comes up in that debate today. We will play clips from both of them and talk about, you know, the issue in depth on Monday's program, issue 11, in our 30 Issues in 30 Days series.